The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 23rd chapter. There followed Jesus a great multitude of people and of women who were mourning and lamenting for him. But turning to them, Jesus said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming when they will say, 'Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bore, and the breasts that never nursed.' Then they will begin to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if they do these things when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry? Two others, who were criminals, were led away to be put to death with him. And when they came to the place that is called the Skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said, 'Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.' And they cast lots to divide his garments. And the people stood by, watching. But the rulers scoffed at him, saying, 'He saved others. Let him save himself, if he is the Christ of God, his chosen one.' The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, 'If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself.' There was also an inscription over him, 'This is the King of the Jews.' One of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, 'Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us.' But the other rebuked him, saying, 'Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we, indeed, justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong.' And he said, 'Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom.' And he said to him, 'Truly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise.'" This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Now, those are words that you're used to hearing on Good Friday, not the last Sunday of the church year. But those words could just as easily be spoken by any of us on any given day in any of the situations in which we find ourselves. Jesus, remember me, the criminal says. So what moves him to ask our Lord such a radical thing as he hung dying on his cross? What could have caused him to have this reaction when he is being put to death for his crimes, while the other criminal remains so vocally unrepentant? All of sinful humanity is seen in miniature in these three at the place of the skull. Because you have the Lord of creation, the Redeemer, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, dying as a sacrifice for your sin. Each individual sin that you commit daily, and that original sin that lies deep within you. And you have these two men who react to the God-man Jesus in completely different ways. One reacts like so much of humanity. He railed at Jesus. He cussed him. He yelled at him. He jeered his humility. "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." He saw Jesus from a point of weakness. He saw Jesus go to his death without a fight, without condemning his executioners, without a complaint. So in downcast eyes, he saw a beaten man, one who couldn't face up to his fate. What kind of reaction do you expect from a hardened criminal? He sees a pathetic person, someone who doesn't have what it takes to back up what he said in the past. All he sees is another weak Messiah wannabe who can't take it when the chips are down. But in reality, Jesus goes to his death just as Isaiah prophesied. He opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth. The other criminal sees something entirely different, doesn't he? Where criminal one saw weakness and a cowed loser, criminal two sees the willing sacrifice. He sees the deep sorrow for sinful humanity in those downcast eyes. He saw, he heard Jesus forgive his executioners. He saw the crowd at the foot of the cross and Jesus' reaction to them. He saw Jesus' continued compassion in the face of the excruciating pain he felt as he hung dying, beaten and bleeding and suffocating for all of humanity, with the weight of the world's sin literally crushing him to death. So criminal two saw the actions of a loving God as they truly were, and he had, for lack of a better term, a deathbed conversion. He saw the sign that was hung above Jesus as true, as an accurate description. This is the King of the Jews. It took him a while, but he came to the realization that this Jesus was truly the Messiah, the one the prophet had spoken of. So he is confronted with God in the flesh, and he responds in faith, given by God, Jesus, remember me. And those two sides of humanity could not be farther apart. Unbelief and faith clash here. And this is where the preacher usually asks the question, okay, which criminal are you? Are you the good one or are you the bad one? But you really don't have to think about that one very hard, do you? Because you're both. And you react to your Lord God like both of these criminals do, depending on the kind of day you're having or what sin it is that you're committing. Because regardless of how good you think you are, you're still a criminal in God's eyes. You've still sinned, and as St. Paul says, you fall short of the glory of God. No matter how well you think you behave, it's never enough. Sin still mars what you think might be a perfect record. Because if God your Father demands complete perfection from you, how can you live up to those expectations? In all honesty, you can't. Try as you might, left to your own devices, we all stink at being good children of God. But thanks be to God that he's given a way out of the fate that you deserve. You cry out in faith, just like the criminal, Jesus, remember me, and he does. Like the criminal, you can look behind what you see with your physical eyes and see what's really going on with the eyes of faith. Because where some see simply water and some words, you see God himself reaching out his hand to say, you are my child. Today you have a place with me in paradise. And where some see just bread and just wine, you see the true body and blood of the same Jesus, the all-sufficient sacrifice given for you for the forgiveness of your sins. You see Jesus reaching out his hand to say, take, eat, take and drink of the very thing that brings life everlasting, the flesh and blood of the sacrificial lamb that forgives all the sins of all the people of all time. And where some just hear the words, "I forgive you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit," spoken, you hear reality being spoken. You are forgiven because I, your Heavenly Father, hear your cry. I declare you forgiven. So just because you don't see those things with your physical eyes, it doesn't negate the mercy of our God and the truth of His Word. Just because you don't see the eternal nature of these precious gifts with your eyes doesn't mean that they aren't there. Because even though all of us deserve eternal punishment for the sins that we commit over and over and over again, through faith in the Lamb of God, our Savior, we cry out, "Jesus, remember me." And He answers. He answers in His spoken and in His preached word. He answers in the waters of holy baptism. He answers in His holy supper. Today, you will be with me in paradise. Jesus remembers you. He has said that you are with Him today by virtue of the power of His living word. And until the last day comes, He will continue to be with you just as He has promised. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Thank you.